Blog Talk Radio.
Today's episode of the A New Day Show. Happy Memorial Day and happy Sunday to every one of you. I tell you, we have two powerful episodes for you today. One, we're going to talk about how to beef up our intimacy IQ, and we are going to talk about how to enhance our health. So, two powerful, powerful discussions. However, before I go on to my honored guest, I want to share with you from Celebrating 365 Days of Gratitude. We are meant to thrive. The more grateful we fix our minds on the Supreme, when good things come to us, the more good things we will receive, and the more rapid they will come. And the reason simple is the mental attitude of gratitude draws the mind into close touch with the source from which the blessing comes. And that this is a quote from Wallace D. Wattles. There is something we need to thrive already. Existing on Earth, we can begin a paradigm shift on our planet by becoming grateful for what we have. Next, we let go of scarcity, thinking thoughts of limitation and lack, and we begin turning to God for everything. We live in a universe of unlimited abundance. And our divine inheritance is a co-creator with God in supplying all our desires to live joyful and freely, expressing ourselves to the fullest capacity in whom we come here to be. That's true prosperity, living life to the fullest, in service to God, ourselves, and mankind. It is God's good pleasure to give us the kingdom. We will fully know this as truth and live from this reality, we will create heaven and earth. It all begins with living in a state of gratitude. And this entry is done by Patricia Wagner. And remember, if you have not yet picked up your copy of Celebrating 365 Days of Gratitude, I encourage you to do so, because this makes a marvelous, marvelous gift. So I'm going to encourage you to pick up your notepad and pens and whatever material you need to take notes, because we are going to be discussing a lot of powerful, powerful information. Well, my honored guest is calling in from Spain, and in Spain, it is the wee hours of the morning. I think it's after midnight. And she is calling in, and she's really going to help us to beef up, as I say, our intimacy IQ. And we're going to talk about, you know, how does effective communication make a difference in that? So lean back. She's not a stranger to their New Day show. She was a guest some months ago. And without any further delay, I would like to welcome my honored guest, Miss Leela Youssef. Hi, Leela. How are you?
Fine. Very good. It's 1 o'clock here, and I'm happy to be with you on the show at 7 o'clock New York for all the listeners in America.
Thank you so much, and thank you for staying up.
Thank you for everybody for being here.
Yes. Tell people a little bit about who you are.
Okay. I am an Egyptian woman who rebelled against her culture and decided to live life the way she felt she had to live it, which meant not being a virgin, which was very important. It's still very important traditionally before you get married. She decided to also become financially independent and live on her own before getting married. And actually, she never got married. And she also decided to leave the country at the age of 30 after achieving the small little revolution she made. Mm-hmm. And started being a psychotherapist in Spain because she felt that her call and her purpose is to help people shift their mindset in order to be clear in their communication with the others, because I truly, deeply believe that unless we learn how to communicate clearly what we're really saying, and what we are really meaning through our words and our bodies, because communication is much more than just the words we speak, we will save the world. Because through communication, we enter different spaces with each other. And we enter trust or mistrust. And we misunderstand or understand whoever we have in front of us. And if we understand, we get closer. And if we misunderstand, we mistrust and move farther away from people. And that's one way to get to creating more peace between people that can create more peace in the world.
You know, that's a very important statement you just make, because a lot of women will say, and I know we are going to talk about how we can communicate better to enhance the intimacy in our life. And I know a lot of women are of the belief that their spouses or significant other should know what it is they need and when they need it. And I know that the discussion tonight is going to blow that myth out in the water. But before we even touch that topic, why is relationship so important to you, Leela?
Because relationship is everything, Daphne, in life. I mean, we relate to everything. We relate to the plants in our house. We relate to our work. We relate to people. Everything in life is relationship. As we know, there is nothing that exists outside of you being in contact with something or somebody, whether it is a project. So it's your relationship with your project, with your mission, with your spouse, with your kids, with your plants, with your house, with your money. You're always in relationship with something, with somebody.
That's right. That's right. Now, so, why do you think effective communication is the doorway to intimacy?
As I was saying before, Daphne, if our communication is not clear in the way we send it and to the person who receives it, we are always in interpretation. That is the difficulty of communication, and that is the challenge. Like, we assume things in our head, and sometimes we think that we hear what is not even being said, and we are sure.
Mm-hmm.
That what we are hearing in our head is what has been said.
That's right.
We're always creating confusion.
And that's why it is so important when a person, when you make a statement to someone and they affirm with a yes, it is so important to find out what are they saying yes to.
Exactly.
Just because of the same reason you just mentioned. Because a lot of times what you hear is not what is being said.
Exactly.
And what you hear is based on your past experiences.
Exactly.
You know? So
I'm going to give you an example of something,
yeah.
A very clear example of something that happened to me with a friend a few days ago.
Yes.
I went to Barcelona. I live in the south. I went to Barcelona to give a talk, to give a workshop in a congress, and I stayed with my friends. And in one evening, she comes up from work. She's been out all day long. I was home all day long. So I was in a relaxed state of mind, doing my thing in the house. And she was coming from her work, tired, from Barcelona. She lives 17 kilometers south of Barcelona. So she has to take the train, go to work, come back. And the minute she came back home, the phone rang, and it was a phone call for me. And the minute she heard the phone ring, with a very angry tone, she said, "Take your phone call and go to your room and have your private conversation on your own. I don't want to be involved or hear anything about your private conversations."
Wow.
So I go to my room, I have my conversation, and then I come back, and I feel a knot in my stomach. And in my mind, I am thinking, oh, she doesn't want me to be here anymore. She feels like it's enough, 2 days,
like,
and now it's my fourth day, and I am a heavy guest this time. And my mind kept on going, blah, blah, blah,
right.
Blah, blah.
Like you're intruding, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And 2 hours later, we were having another conversation. She had completely forgotten about this, and I'm still with that knot in my stomach. And I went in a state of fear, and I'm trying to please her because I feel I have already assumed that I am and I have been a heavy guest.
Right.
So we're talking about something else, and she was completely in a new place, totally different. And all of a sudden, I answer and I say, "Well, I am tranquil." And she says, "Laila, you're not tranquil." And I said, "Well, how funny." And she says, "Well, I'd like to know why you're not tranquil." And I tell her, "Well, I'm not tranquil because a few hours ago, this is what happened. And you told me this way." And so she left. She started laughing.
Oh.
And I said, "Why are you laughing?" And she said, "Because nothing of what you say is what was on my mind."
Wow.
I did not think at all that you are a heavy guest. Nothing of what you just are assuming. The only thing that happened to me is that I came from outside and I really wanted to be tranquil. I did not want to hear more somebody talking because for me this was noise. I've been out all day long and I needed some tranquility. And it is true that I could say this next time in a non-angry way.
Yes.
So she was angry because she was coming from the noise, and the anger was her bursting out to basically liberate herself from the tension of being outside of the house, work all day long and coming back, blah, blah, blah. And I was in a totally different story. I was in, I am a heavy guest. I should not stay more than 3 days. I am not welcomed. This is the base of communication. If her do not clear this up, I stay with something in my head that slowly makes me withdraw from feeling good with her.
That's right. That's right. But it's a good thing you took the time to clear that up.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, if you are just joining, I'm on with my guest, Leila Youssef out of Spain. And she was just sharing an example of how non-effective communication could have been a wedge between her and her friend. And that was not an intimate relationship, but the same thing can happen in intimate relationships. So let's go into relationship with our spouses, specifically, Leila, around intimacy. Based on your professional experience, how has that been hindering intimacy, the improvement or the benefit of intimacy?
Well, I would say it hinders 80 to 85%, and I'm going to explain why. Women, in their functioning in intimacy, are very different than men. In my experience, both personal and professional, women need affection in order for them to go into sex. Men need sex in order for them to go into affection. Okay. Now, you've mentioned at the beginning of our conversation something extremely important. A woman is also wanting all the time the man, that is the myth, to guess what is her need, and to respond to that guest need in the exact way she is expecting it. And based on these expectations, she will decide whether or not she's going to open her legs or not.
she can hold him hostage.
So she can hold him hostage. Okay, so in that myth that she has not done today what she was expecting him to do, or he has not called her as he was expected to call, or he has not remembered that this is the perfume she was supposed to bring, or whatever. For her birthday. She is already expecting and has constructed a story that will make her feel closer or farther away from him. And he is going to be in a space exactly like my friend. He's coming from work. He's doing his normal thing. For him, these details, and this is a reality for men, and a lot of women could not agree with me. Women do not realize that all these details that matter to us as women, that make us, that through which we think that men love us or like us or prefer us or are close to us, don't mean much to them. I mean, for him to remember to get something from the supermarket that I ask him for and he forgets it is not at all in his context as a man anything meaningful in terms of remembering me and me being important to him. And for us, the fact that he doesn't remember one single detail a day is already a build-up of he doesn't care about me much, he doesn't hear me, he doesn't listen to me. He does not respond to my needs. Okay.
Wow. That is so true. That is so true because We don't separate the things. We connect everything, and that's the reason why he's doing that, and that's the reason why. And we don't say why we are upset. Well, you
exactly.
are supposed to know.
Exactly.
You
he's
are
supposed
to
know everything.
That's right.
He's supposed to guess everything. And men have more difficulty expressing their feelings and have more difficulties being in touch with their feelings because of the education they had. So if we put together a woman who is assuming that a man is supposed to guess everything about her needs, and we put together a man who is not in touch with his basic emotions, and therefore emotionally, he's not in touch with his emotional needs because of the culture and the education they have. Can you imagine the mess we can create on an intimate level?
That's right. That's right. So, Leela, I don't think all is at loss. How can we begin to do better in this area?
Well, the best way to do better is that we take responsibility for our communication.
Mm-hmm.
Unless we take responsibility for our communication, it's impossible to break a bridge, to create a bridge between what he is saying and what I am receiving, and therefore start hearing each other, not only listening to each other.
That's
start
right.
Start hearing what the other one is saying, and start hearing how is what he is saying is affecting me. Because the way it affects me, not necessarily is the way he meant it, and vice versa.
That's right. And I think it is important, too, that we as women begin to ask the right questions. Because that's another thing we do not do. Once something was not done, we lose it. Instead of asking why it wasn't done. So
exactly.
we have to get into the habit of asking the right questions, because this is the only way we are going to get the right answers.
Exactly. And in order for us to do that, Daphne, one has to start knowing about their, what I call, triggers.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I do have certain subjects that I'm very sensitive about, and therefore, if anybody or anything outside of me triggers that subject, I have to start knowing myself in that arena and know that if a subject is triggered where I am sensitive, I am not necessarily going to hear what the person says, but I'm going to hear what my filters of the past say.
That's right. That's right. You know, I was having a similar conversation with a friend about the same thing this past Thursday. She was telling me about certain things that happened to her in a meeting and the way she reacted. And I said to her, that's the same thing happened in the case where somebody probably was sexually abused or something. And I said, by just simply smelling a cologne or seeing a certain color can trigger that episode in the person's life, that experience in the person's life again. And you can say, you just turn up and say, hello, Daphne, and all of a sudden I'm losing it. And you ask, you know, all I do was say hello to her, and she lost it, and not realizing that it's your cologne that you're wearing or the color you have on that reminded me of something that happened in the past. So, you know, taking responsibility is very, very, very important. Very important.
I would say it is the most important thing, because if you do not take responsibility, therefore, it's always going to be the blame on the other person, and you're going to always be sure to make sure that what you heard is the truth. While if you take responsibility, you're going to question yourself, because you know, or more than questioning yourself, if you start knowing yourself by taking responsibility, you know that you are triggered by certain things because you have certain issues that are still unresolved. And when these issues are triggered, you are no more in the present hearing what is being said, but you are in your past hearing what your filters of the past say.
Say, yes, yes. Lila, can you help us before you do that? I want to remind you guys, call in 646-915-8166 with your questions or comments or remarks. 646-915-8166. Lila, can you help us to create a checklist that we can use as a guide towards effective communication so we can all increase the quality of our intimacy?
Well, when you say checklist, what do you mean by that?
A number of things that we ought to be doing.
Okay, so the first thing is to ask yourself the question, am I willing to take responsibility for my communication or not? The second thing, if you say yes to that question, you have to define what does it mean for you to really take responsibility. Because taking responsibility immediately implies that you're going to put more attention into yourself, you're going to start being self-aware of your triggers. That means that following on the list, you have to start putting on that list what are your triggers, which are the areas of your life where you're very sensitive, where you have wounds that are still open, or where you still have issues. And the only way, one very easy way to know that is, where are the areas of conflict you have in your life? The areas of conflict you have in your life are the clear areas where you still have pending issues from your past, and this is exactly where your triggers are. And once you've done that, you start looking for the best techniques you can use, and everybody has his own way of dealing with their own stuff, in order for you to start clearing all these pending issues that you have from your past. And when you do this, my experience is the more you do this, the more you are capable of being in the moment and hearing what is being said to you. And also hearing how the person is saying it. For instance, sometimes when my boyfriend and I, we live in this open way of communicating. It's something we are taking responsibility of our communication. And it's very clear for me sometimes when he is upset and he says something and then I take it in a specific way, it's very clear to me if it is my issue or it is his issue. If it is my issue, I feel, because I am connected to my body, this is one way to get to know if it is my issue or his issue, is to be connected with your body. If you are connected with your body, when you hear something that triggers your past and therefore you're not anymore listening to what is being said in the present, there is something that happens in your body. It could be subtle and it could be not that subtle. Or something that happens to your mood.
How can one make the decision whether the issue at hand is theirs or the other person?
Well, this is exactly what I was trying to explain. If nothing happens in my body, when he tells me something, an accuse, he said, I told you not to leave this here. If nothing happens in my body, like I don't go into, oh, again he's accusing me, again I feel, again I'm unjust, again, this is my issue. If I get upset, it is my issue. If I don't get upset, it's his issue.
All right. So we all have to be very aware of,
yes,
of what's going on. And part of responsibility, too, is being honest.
Honest, exactly.
Yeah.
And if I don't get upset, it's very clear that it is him who is accusing, and he is not in the moment because he's accusing of something that is not really happening. He is using the term accusation because of something that he has his own filters. If I get upset and I start going into, what an injustice, it's always me, I'm always the one who has to receive this, he doesn't try, it means something is triggered inside of me. So instead of reacting to him, I stop, I take responsibility of what's going on with me independently of whether he has sent an accusation or not. I clear my issue with myself first.
Mm-hmm.
Once I am clear in my issue with myself first, then I can clearly hear what is going on with him. Because as long as I do have my own filter, it's my filter with his filter that are one reacting to the other. So really, none is hearing each other. We are just reacting to our filters. Our filters are reacting one to the other.
This is good stuff. We just have a few minutes remaining, maybe 15 minutes or so. So let us touch on the topic of intimacy and sex.
Okay.
Let's look in a relationship with a spouse, with spouses. And it's just downright not there. It's not good. Nothing is happening. How do you suggest that an approach is made to clear this up?
When you say nothing is happening, it means that there have been things that have been stagnating in the relationship. You see,
it's just
sexuality,
madam, no excitement there, no intimacy, no excitement, nothing.
The lack of intimacy in sex or the lack of passion in the sexual relationship is a very clear signal that something is very wrong in the communication on the emotional level. It means if there is nothing happening, it means the communication on the emotional level, on the affection level between this couple has been broken.
But
and unless the communication is reconstructed again, there will not be passion in that relationship. Things will only get worse.
Yeah, but, you know, there's a little sex that is happening, but there is no intimacy. And how would you suggest that, let's say the woman, how do you suggest that she brings the topic up to her husband?
It really depends on the situation, Daphne, because in some situations the communication is possible and some other situations the communication is not possible.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, with some people, one of the two partners lost the desire to even talk about what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
And when this happens, is because in the past, when one was saying something, the other person was not listening. So what I would suggest do, if this is to be taken again into consideration, to start communication, that we do the following. I'm going to give a very simple, very effective, very powerful exercise. To create a new type of communication. Because people have stopped communicating and lost the desire to even go into communicating about what is going on or what has happened because they already know where is this going to lead. It's going to lead to the same places they've always been there before.
Right, right.
And if we are to break this, we need to start communicating in a different way.
Mm-hmm.
So what I suggest is the following. Whoever takes the lead to start to ask for communication again, will do the following. It's going to be open to hear what they don't want to hear.
Mm-hmm.
They are going to be willing to listen in a new way, which means accept the possibilities that they might be wrong and that they are not right, and therefore some of the truth might lie with the other person.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Because in anything that happens between me and my spouse,
mm-hmm.
there is always one part that where I am responsible of and one part that he is responsible of.
Mm-hmm.
And unless I do accept deep in my heart that this is the case and that I open a space to hear him without any comment, ask questions to know what is going on.
Mm-hmm.
Not questions that would lead me to confirm to me that I am right.
That's right, because some people have a desire to always be right.
Yes.
And don't need to be.
Yeah. If you want an open communication and if you want intimacy in your relationship, you have to decide whether you want to be right or you want to be happy.
That's powerful. That's
if you want to be right, you're not going to be happy and you're not going to have intimacy. If you want intimacy, you have to accept that part of the responsibility of the non-intimacy lies with you. So it's your choice to make a decision of being right and he is wrong, or you want to be intimate and therefore happy.
Mm.
They don't go together. They are antagonists.
Wow. That is powerful right there. That is powerful. If you guys didn't get anything else out of this conversation, this is a powerful nugget right here for you. Very, very, very important. Remember, we can still take your calls. 646-915-8166. Let us hear from you. Let us hear from you. All right. Okay, Leela. So, is there anything else that you was hoping that I asked that I didn't ask?
No, I think we covered important points. We need to be honest. We need to take responsibility, and we need to accept not to be right.
Mhm. 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 Mhm.
One leads to the other.
Do you think women are upfront enough about speaking about this topic? It's like, I know that women are so lackadaisical to speak about their dissatisfaction when it comes to orgasm and those things. When it comes to the intimacy part, do you think women are frank enough about speaking about it?
No, I think women are shy, and they need a lot of time and space and trust in order for them to open up to talk about these things. And I also believe that women think that the men should know
mm-hmm.
about how to give them an orgasm and how to satisfy them in bed. And this mm-hmm. is something I've encountered a lot in my practice. Women do not realize that men are exactly like them. They learned about sexuality the best way they could through their experiences or through going to professionals. And they don't have much more than what they learned, exactly like me, like you, like every other woman, like the women. We learn through the experiences we have. We give them the responsibilities of our pleasure by saying, he has to know how to give me pleasure. And this is wrong. This mm-hmm. is not leading. This will never lead to intimacy. Because as long as he has the power, he is going to use, as long as I have given him that power, he's going mm-hmm. to use that power whichever way he can to mm-hmm. the best of his ability. And the best yes. of his ability does not necessarily meet my needs.
That's
so
right.
In sexuality, It is very important for every woman to start taking responsibility of her own pleasure. And in order for her to do that, she needs to start knowing her body. And this is what I teach in my workshops.
I want to ask you to just summarize our conversation because we have 5 minutes remaining. And at the end of that summary, I want you to give out your contact information on how people can get in touch with you.
Okay. So we said that in order for us to have clear communication, we first need to accept, we need to take responsibility. And in order for us to take responsibility, the blame game has to stop. Because in taking responsibility, there is no one to blame. There is only learning to be done. And in order for us to take responsibility, this will lead us to become aware of what is happening with us. Because if I want to be responsible of my communication, I have to be responsible of what I communicate and what I receive. And in order for me to be clear on what I communicate, I need to be in touch with what are my triggers and what is not my trigger. And therefore, be able to differentiate between what I am receiving as communication and what I am hearing as communication. And if we are responsible, then we have to be able to check ourselves first to see if the issue is a trigger of mine or not. And if it is a trigger of mine, then I clear my stuff before I go back into communicating with the other person. After that, we hear what the other person is saying, and we hear where they are coming from, and we clearly leave it with them without reacting. If I am responsible, I act upon the communication I receive. I do not react. And the last thing I say, and then I repeat another very important nugget, as you mentioned, is I have to always remember that if I want to be right, I am not going to be happy because I'm not going to be intimate with people in general because I'm always right. If I'm always right, it is always the other to be blamed. If the other to be blamed, then we go into the vicious circle that we know.
Pointing fingers,
exactly. Pointing fingers, accusations, people react because they feel accused. They don't want to accept it because their ego is hurt, and then it becomes a power game. Who's going to be right? Who's going, no. But if we do what I am saying and we follow it step by step like this, then we're going to be able to hear the other person from a different place because our own stuff has been taken away from the bridging line between me and them, and therefore I can hear what they are saying in a clearer way because my own stuff that has been triggered is outside of the way. And the last thing I said is women need to realize that this myth about men guessing what is happening with them, especially in sexuality, is just a myth that is not taking the relationship anywhere. And if women want to find intimacy and communication, they need to become responsible of their communication in bed with their husbands, and in order to do that, they have to get in touch with their bodies.
Wonderful, wonderful. Leela?
Yes?
Can you tell people how to get in touch with you?
Well, I am in the process of constructing a website, and I'm going to be giving webinars on this website, and they can subscribe so I can send them the information when I do my first webinar. And it is about empowering women to heal their wounds of the past with their self-image, body self-image, in order for them to get more in touch with their bodies. And my webpage has my name, www.leila, L-E-I-L-A, Youssef, Y-O-U-S-S-E-F, like father, .com. I repeat, LeilaYoussef.com, LeilaYoussef.com, LeilaYoussef all together.
And you're on Facebook too, right?
I am on Facebook, but yes, I am on Facebook as well. But I don't, I think it's Layla too, because
okay.
There are so many Laylas on Facebook.
Ah, that's a popular name.
It's a popular name. It means the night. I love my name. My name on Facebook is facebook.com/Layla.Youssef, as I spelled it before, number 32.
All right. Well, Miss Layla, it was a pleasure having you on, and thank you for all this amazing information.
Thank you.
And I know that everybody will be able to beef up their intimacy quotient. So I hope that they will call in and give us some testimonies about what this information has been doing for them. So
yes, it would be nice to hear from you guys.
Yes,
and women.
And I want to thank you, Leela, so very much for coming on and for spending this time with us and for helping us to enhance our lives and to let us feel comfortable about being a woman and to have the needed conversation. Because
thank you.
We are too quiet, and I think a lot of it is about embarrassment. Women are so embarrassed to talk about those things.
Yes.
And I think it's time we grow up.
It's time to start, because there is nothing shameful about anything we do or anything we feel or anything we are.
Mhm. Mm-hmm.
And by staying with our mouth shut, we are enhancing, we are feeding this feel of there is something wrong with us, or there is shame in what we do or what we feel, and therefore it is disempowering.
That's right. So I want to thank you so very much, Leela. And I'm sure we will be talking in the near future. And I just encourage you to keep doing the amazing work that you are doing.
Thank you.
All right. I'll be talking with you soon.
Okay. Bye-bye.
All right. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello. On live, your last four digits are 9768. Would you please state your name and where you're calling from?
I'm Sandy Lou, calling from Queens.
Hi, Sandy Lou. How are you?
Wonderful. How are you?
I am wonderful. Well, thank you so much for calling in. I just wind up with my other guests who was on from Spain. It was 1 o'clock in the morning.
Oh,
and
my,
she
was
bright and perky as if it was 8 a.m. So it was a great conversation. Well, let us take a few minutes and go in. I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule on this Memorial Day weekend to come and shed some light and insight to my listeners. So
thank you for giving me the opportunity to share my information with you.
Thank you so much. Would you please take a few minutes and just introduce yourself to the listeners?
Okay, I'm Sandy Lou. I'm a resident of Queens, New York for over 25 years. I'm a health advocate. I have always been involved with good health and promoting good health throughout the community. I participate in workshops and seminars and try to share the importance of being in good health.
Mm-hmm.
I just wanted to say, and being a health advocate, I was informed that over a year ago that I had a high cholesterol problem, and it started my advocacy on good health at that point.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Why do you think, Sandy Lou, why do you think it is of vital importance now that we begin to pay keener attention to our health?
Well, there's two things that happen. Being in good health allows you to have the time to be free to do the things that you like to do, to be free to live your dreams, and to be free of challenging health problems that then takes you in a different direction. You have to focus on a whole different avenue of things to get better. But if we try to maintain our health, if we try to understand what it takes to be in good health, then we can focus on other things that we like to do and can do.
Mm-hmm.
Eventually, if we don't, we have to stop and investigate what it takes to be better in better health.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have to go towards the prescription drugs. And there's a lot of other complications that happens if we don't try to focus on that at this point.
And I want people to understand that we are not here advocating against doctors. But
no.
What we are advocating for is for each and every one of us to make educated decisions when it pertains to our health. Don't
right.
just pop a pill container and begin to swallow.
Okay.
Ask questions before you fill these prescriptions. Because I think there are lots and lots of people out there who are not assertive when it comes to their health.
Right, right. Absolutely.
They are not asking the right question. As a matter of fact, they don't even ask any questions.
That's so
they
true.
They go in and the doctor come in and say hi, and the next thing they start to write the prescription.
Right.
And,
right.
You know, I've challenged doctors in the past, and I ask, you know, how come you're writing a prescription before I even tell you
right,
anything?
Right. That's true. That's
so
true.
Because if we do not advocate for our well-being,
right.
No one else is going to do it. So we got to have the utmost interest
right.
in our health.
Well, that's absolutely true, because what happened to me, as I had mentioned earlier, I had was diagnosed with high cholesterol, and they moved towards giving me a prescription to lower the level of my cholesterol. So
right.
I grew up seeing all these little medication bottles on my grandmother's night table, and you really don't know why they're there. You just know they have to take this medication.
Mm-hmm.
So I decided that then I wanted to be an advocate and try to be healthy, but as you said, once you have some challenging health problems, doctors are not there to advocate naturopathic methods or remedies. They're there to give you a prescription. This is what they were taught. Nothing
mm-hmm.
wrong with that, but that's what they were taught. So
mm-hmm.
during my little investigation, I found out that I was dehydrated, that
mm-hmm.
water is an essential
mm-hmm.
product
mm-hmm.
in our lives that we don't really take much. We take it for granted, but
mm-hmm.
that was one of the problems.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, we are talking about you. I'm listening to you mention about being a health advocate, and you mentioned about, you know, observing the many pill containers on your grandmother's nightstand, and you decide that, oh no, that's not going to be my life, and I decide
true.
That I'm going to do something different.
True.
What does it entail to be a health advocate? What are some of the steps that one needs to take?
Well, you have to be committed to good health. Good health not only means health, good health and diet. It also means good health in your personal relationships, good health in your living environment. It's good health in your overall environment. That's what I identify as good health.
Mm-hmm,
and then you go from there. You start with, as I started, one of the major challenging problems that we have, that I found for myself, is that I was dehydrated, not drinking enough water. And oftentimes when we go to the doctor says, drink more water. They don't say you should drink minimum 5 glasses or 8 ounces a day. Every day, and if you don't like water, then you substitute it with other things, soda, coffee, And that's the beginning of being an advocate. You have to have a good sense of what you need and what you want and what you should have to build your system and so that you can then share that information with others.
Mm-hmm.
You can't be an advocate and not try to be in good health overall in good health.
Yeah, but, you know, people need to have a clarity on what it is. You know, when you're intaking fluids, it's a different thing from water. And water plays an essential role in triggering the electricity in our bodies.
Absolutely.
And people will be gulping down juices and sodas and coffee and, oh, well, I'm drinking something. Yes,
right, exactly.
But when was the last time you drink water?
Exactly.
You know, there are a lot of people, you mention the word water, and you should see the expression on their faces.
well, that's true. Well, water is supposed to be a free commodity. It's a free natural substance, but what happens is we either don't like the taste of water, and so we go to other things. And one of the major problems with understanding water, if we drink other things, then those other things turn out to be juices and sodas, which are high in sugar.
Carbonated, yep.
High in sugar. So what sugar does is it becomes a substance in the body and as an acid substance. And what happens with acid, it attracts all kinds of chronic diseases.
Mm-hmm.
So in my research, I found that water is not just water. It's not water that comes from the tap that is, well, Dr. Oz has just did a report saying tap and bottled water is not good, not healthy to drink. So in the research, I found that an ironizer, a Kangen ironizer, produces alkaline water, and that's what my focus is.
Mm-hmm.
Alkaline water, it balances out your system and then it fights against the acids in your system.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we need, alkaline water.
And you found this out from personally adopting this type of a lifestyle for yourself. How long ago did you start?
About a year, because in finding out that it had high cholesterol, I didn't want to take the prescription. And then doing the research, I found I was hydrated because I didn't like the water. And water hydrates your system. It breaks down the fats, and it's supposed to. Breaks down, flush out, clean out. But if you're not drinking the kind of water that's going to break down, flush out, and clean out, then you're just circulating water that's just not good for the system. You're still drinking coffee, and you're still drinking sodas and juices. So your body never really acclimates itself to being in good health.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I said earlier, you have to be committed. You need to understand, first off, that you need to drink good, clean, healthy water. That's the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
And then once you begin to understand that, it's a mindset that then you should understand the other things that you should be drinking, juicing, vegetables, leafy diets, move away from the sugar foods, sugar sodas, coffee. And as I said, we eat, you know, the American diet is too much sugar. Sugar, everything we eat, you know, is just concentrated in sugar, and sugar attracts all kinds of, as I said earlier, chronic
diseases. I was talking with a friend of mine a couple months ago, and she was so angry because a relative of hers had diabetes and had to go into the hospital one night into emergency. And she was so angry because this relative had started a ritual where every day they would go, a number of them would go to McDonald's to drink the 99-cent iced tea.
Oh, please, yes, okay.
And my friend was so angry because she was using some adjectives to describe
that
iced tea. And, you know, and this is why we got to take responsibility of the type of health we want.
Right.
What are some of the advantages of hydrating with an alkaline water?
Well, we need to understand here again, alkaline water, particularly Kangen alkaline water, an ionizer that was made in Japan. Now, you have to look at the overall culture of the Japanese. They live longer. They're not overweight. So you have to say, well, you need to follow those who look that way, who think about health that way. What do they eat? They eat a lot of vegetables. But going back to Kangen in Japanese means return to origin. And return to origin means return to the natural alkaline state in which we were born. So in order to get back to that, we have to understand the abuse that the body's been in over the years. It's been abused with stress and problems and overeating and chronic challenging problems, even if it's just a cold two or three times a year. That's a problem. Mm-hmm. So what alkaline does, it's an antioxidant. What happens before I do that is the alkaline ionizer, called the Kangen alkaline ionizer, converts the tap water to alkaline water. So now it gives you, it becomes an antioxidant water, which builds the system, hydrating, which keeps you moving two or three times a day. You know, moving is what I call bowel movement, is what is moving all of the toxins out of the body.
Yes, yes.
So it gives you tremendous energy. I'm able to walk about 20, 30 blocks without thinking about it. You know, I used to have a car. I don't have a car anymore. So I might take a long walk to go from one point to the other. I don't think about it. I just walk there.
Beautiful.
It also cleanses the colon. It has a wonderful way to just keep flushing out the toxins so your colon is a clean area.
Yes.
And then also, most importantly, it's a clean, healthy water that you're drinking. You drink lots of it. It tastes good. And you're on your road to benefiting the body by drinking alkaline water.
You know, Sandy Lou, how receptive are people to receiving this kind of education?
Well, they're very receptive. I think most people are shocked because, you see, water we take for granted. It's supposed to be drink as much as you want, anywhere you want, but it's not realistic because the bottle of water is an $11 billion business. But over and above that, the residue from the bottles that are being wasted goes into the landfill. When it goes into the landfill, it goes into somewhere into our drinking water, then more pesticides have to be in the drinking water in order for us to drink it. So most people believe that they're shocked when they hear that there's poisons that's leached from the plastic bottles themselves. Most people are shocked when they wish that everything would be free, but it's free, but it's just not healthy to drink.
Mm-hmm.
But once they begin to understand the process that they need and they have to have water, they have to have clean alkaline water, they then begin to understand the process.
Mm-hmm.
They accept it, they love it. It gives them an option. It gives them an alternative. If they don't want it, if they can't drink the tap water, they don't want to drink bottled water.
Wow.
Yeah.
If you're just joining us, I have on Sandy Lou, and she is a health advocate out of New York City. Feel free to call 646-915-8166. And if you have any experience with what she's talking about, we would love to hear from you.
I would love to also.
Give us your contribution, call in. And Sandy, I'll be right back. I'm taking a brief commercial break.
Okay, great. I'll hold on. Thanks.
SuperFastLinkBuilding.com. The biggest challenge for business owners and entrepreneurs like you is getting your site to show up on the first page of a Google search. It's been reported that Google often changes their search reporting methods multiple times in the same day. That's why you can't use just any search optimization company. The SEO company that you choose has to think fast and move even faster. At SuperFastLinkBuilding.com, we've designed and developed a unique system to start positioning your site closer to the top. Our complex system of websites and blogs, along with our proprietary algorithms, are pushing our clients' sites to page one every day. Your site will never rise on its own. You've got to do something about it. Subscribe today. SuperFastLinkBuilding.com.
Hello and welcome to Dr. Daphne Clark Husson Radio Hour, and we're glad you're here. Hey, listen, get over to drdaphne.in right now and get your advertisement for only $10 placed on the International Bulletin Board. That's right, for only $10, you can have your message seen by our thousands of listeners. So get over there right now, drdaphne.in. We thank you for listening to the show, and we will continue with it now. Have a great day.
Okay, so I pray you'll take a little time off the barbecue grill. It's already 8 o'clock, and give us a call here, 646-915-8166.
You know,
I'm sorry, what did you say?
I was going to mention, when you said barbecue grill, it's very interesting. We get into the habit of getting the barbecue grill moving, and you think we are trapped into having to have the steaks and the sausage and the chicken and the hamburgers. But you can eat lots and lots of nice fresh salad, Caesar salad, all kind of green stuff in it. It's great, and you don't have to be tied into foods that are not necessarily what you want to have in your diet.
That's right. Because that was a segue into what we eat. A couple weeks ago, I did a segment both on the radio here and on my TV show. Mm. How is our mouth serving us? Yeah. And it was not just the conversation we hold, but what are we swallowing is very important. And this is the time of year when we need to talk to people about what they eat. Because a lot of us are holding ourselves hostage to habits of the past.
Right.
You know?
Right.
So what are some of the things now that you are doing differently since the doctor gave you that warning about the high cholesterol and that? What are some steps that you have taken that is really adding value to your life?
The most important step is drinking a lot of alkaline water. Tangan alkaline water, dehydrate the system. The next thing that I'm doing is I'm eating more salad, more variety of salad. The third thing I've done is I've reinvested in my juicer. My juicer is in my juicer. It's an acne juicer that I put in my carrots and my cell. It's an extractor, not a juicer, an extractor.
Mm-hmm.
It extracts the juice from the carrots. And I put celery in, beets, and an apple. It's the most delicious drink.
Mm-hmm.
So we can move away from the sodas and the sugars and the. You see, once you start, you make the commitment to have the that alkaline system in your presence, then it's a message that tells you and your family that. Don't move away from the juice. I bought juice maybe a month ago and still in the refrigerator because now I'm drinking more water. I drink 2 glasses in the morning, 2 glasses in the afternoon, 2 glasses in the evening, and that keeps you hydrated. And it's very good, so you're not really focusing on juice or sodas or any other thing. So, but then you have your good, have your very good leafy lunches, you know, a lot of leafy foods, collard greens, kale. You can make nice dinners without having, you know, necessarily having some of the meat substance in your menu. Lots of good things that I've done. I love juicing. I love cooking. For instance, we used to cook the collard greens. We used to put a lot of fat back or whatever in the soup. Now you can put a little olive oil in the green, put a little onion in there. It's made the best taste ever.
Mm-hmm. You know, a few weeks ago, I went to a restaurant here in town, and it's a seasonal restaurant. It's kind of a new
And I had no idea. I've been passing it there for a while. I had no idea it was a restaurant.
Right.
And the beauty about it, it's seasonal.
Oh.
Every day you go, they print the menu based on what they have in the kitchen.
Right.
And
okay.
I tell you, I ate the salad, and I tell you, it was as if I was eating a live plant from outside.
Right.
You know, I look, and my salad have some flowers on it and different stuff, and everything was
nice.
So alive.
Yeah, wow.
So alive, and I was looking, and I said, wow, I have these flowers at home. I didn't know that
they were edible.
Yeah, they're edible.
You
know?
Right.
And there's so much that we can eat. I buy dandelions at the store and I eat it.
Yes.
And there's so much we can do to eat healthy. This
morning
I went to the memorial service of a neighbor who passed.
Right.
And one of the other neighbors who have not seen me outside of my car, because every time I drove by her house, I'm driving by.
Right.
But she
right.
saw me in
right.
the parking lot at the church this morning, and she said, oh, my God, you look amazing. You have lost so much weight.
Yeah.
What have you been doing? And I told her, I said, I have adopted a different lifestyle in how I eat and what I eat.
Right.
I say I'm doing a lot of raw and
right.
I'm doing a lot of juice. And she said, are you vegan? I said, no, I would not categorize myself as vegan at this stage.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just making healthier choices.
Choices, absolutely.
You know, yesterday I saw another woman and she said to me, oh, you look amazing. I said, you look fabulous too. And she said to me, yes, but I'm fat. And I said to her, that's a choice. You can make the choice to be who and what you want to be.
That's true. And, you know, Daphne, it's fun to position yourself as someone who wants to be healthier. Because what happens, you now want to lift a little weight. You know, maybe you want to exercise those muscles in your arms and do a little weightlifting in your house. You know, a few minutes a day, every day. I also now do a little Tai Chi in the morning. I learned how to do that. I don't run out good. I do it right in my own place.
Mm-hmm.
So you become acclimated to looking healthier, feeling healthier, and people respond to you when they see you. They say, wow, you always, that's what they tell me. Sam, you always look great. What are you doing?
That's right. I told you, son, the last year, I went in the park and taught myself how to ride a bike.
Oh, nice. Okay.
I did not have a bike as a child growing up in Jamaica. We were too poor, and we live way up in the hills. We didn't have no bike.
Okay.
Later on, as an adult, I learned how to ride a Honda motorcycle, one of the small ones. But I bought me a bicycle. And I tell you, the little kids were laughing at me when they saw me falling off and everything. But you see, when I was pedaling around that park, they were all giving me the thumbs up and telling me, good job, good job, good job.
Right,
so
right,
it
right.
is never too late.
Oh,
never
no.
too late.
Well, you know, Daphne, because I'm an advocate, I did start a little company called the Sister Group.
Uh-huh.
And the Sister Group is committed to great health and wellness. It tries to keep you focused against challenging health problems to be free to live your dreams. Now, I say that because over a year ago, I had the opportunity to buy a houseboat. And this houseboat was a two-level boat. It was docked in the marina. It had, you know, needed a lot of work. But I made that my home, and it was the best thing that I've ever done in my whole life.
Mm-hmm.
Because all I saw going by was ships and sailboats and water that was clean and beautiful. And I think we miss, as people, we miss the opportunity to dream to dream our lives or live our dreams.
Exactly.
Because we get tied into things that take us away from the dreams that we might have.
That's right, that's right.
So health is a premium important factor to keep you on track to living your dreams.
I was at a graduation earlier on this afternoon, and I was telling a woman, she was in a great corporate job in Chicago, and she got so sick, and she had to go on a sabbatical for a year, and she just relocated to Washington with a new position. And I looked at her, and I said, congratulations that you were smart enough to take this time to look after you. Because if you cannot function at optimum health, you are in no position whatsoever to be serving anyone else.
Absolutely right.
You know, so it is very, very important. Sandy, for the people, I'm Sandy Lou, for the people who are listening now or who will listen in the future to the archive of this conversation, how can they begin to do better where their health is concerned?
Well, I always say you have to do an assessment of who you are. You do an assessment first. Are you happy with what you do? Are you happy with your environment? Are you happy with how you feel? Are you happy with how you look? You do a self-assessment, and if you're not happy with that assessment, then you have to have a true assessment. It's not coming from the doctor. What I found is that we have so much faith in the doctor that as soon as we get a headache, we're ready to run to the doctor. But in the real world, what we should do is sit down and say, what's the problem? How can I resolve this problem myself? How is my health? Because most problems come from not having good health. So you have to begin with the self-assessment and then be true and honest and then start from there. And if it's health and you know you have to drink water, then you have to make a decision to start there.
I want to give you an opportunity because we only have approximately 13 minutes remaining. I want to give you an opportunity to summarize the high points that you want to leave the listeners with, and then I want to give you an opportunity to tell people how to get in touch with you, please.
Okay, that's fine. The high point of what we need to do after we do the assessment, we have to then say, what does our diet look like? What is our exercise program? Do we include an exercise program? What kind of job do we have? Is the job good for us? Is it helping us with our own personal life? Do we need to make a change with that? And so those kinds of assessments will help you get back to where you need to go, what you need to do. That's the first point. Secondly, after you do this assessment, then you focus in on one or two or three items or ideas. One is the foods that you eat, your diet. Secondly, your exercise, how to include that into your daily program. Three, what about your own personal life and own personal environment? Because they all work together. You can't try to have a good diet and your personal life is upside down. But when you go back and you need to be treated, you need to treat yourself to rid yourself of these stresses and conditions so you keep yourself from ice cream and cake and go shopping and build, and run up your bills, and now you have other stresses because now you have big overhead with your bills that you have to pay. So those are the things you need to begin with, and they all work together. Your health, your personal environment, your personal stuff all work in one little group.
Okay. Can you tell people, we have 10 minutes remaining. Is there any other thing you want to tell people that you was hoping I would have asked that I did not?
Well, no, you're very thorough, Dr. Daphne.
Thank you.
You're very thorough. I just wanted to mention that The Kangen water ionizer is a key element and it's going to be or is a key kitchen appliance that everybody's going to need eventually.
Mm-hmm.
Just like the oven or the stove, the oven or the refrigerator or the extractor, then you need this item, this Kangen ionizer, to give you the water, hydrating water that you need. And this,
all right.
this ionizer, as I mentioned, has five wonderful properties. After the tap water is converted, it gives you antioxidant water. It gives you antioxidant builds your immune system. Hydrating gets you more movement during the day, more bowel movement. You get high energy. You want to know where this energy comes from. As I said, it cleanses the colon, and it's healthy water. But along with that, the ionizer itself gives you five different types of water. It gives you the drinking water. You can wash your vegetables in five different types of water. Washing your vegetables, you can also clean your countertop from the E. coli. And you can also take medication if it's a baby formula. And you can cook with this water. So as I said, it's nothing exotic about this unit. What it is a necessary unit to have in your kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
So what we have is just like drinking water, it's just like cooking.
Mm-hmm.
You can make yourself to cooking, you acclimate yourself to cleaning your house, you acclimate yourself to having a vacuum cleaner, so you have to acclimate yourself to have the necessary things, appliances that's going to keep you healthy.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, would you in a minute give your how people can get in touch with you? And I thank you for taking time out to come and invest in my listeners. We look forward to having you back on the show, and we just pray that we will get some good testimonies of how people are doing better with enhancing. Enhancing their health. So please go ahead and tell people. It's 7 minutes remaining. So if you're dilly-dallying and want to call in, you can still call in. It is 646-915-8166. We'll still accept your call. In the meantime, I want to ask Sandy Lou to just tell people how to get in touch with her.
Well, the best way is just email me at the sister group, CHUCISTAGROUP at AOL.com.
So it's the sister group, CITA group at AOL.com.
And sister means, if I can say, sister means, the acronym for sister is C for Commitment to Great Health. I is invest in yourself. S is share the information. T is team up so that you can have a good team to support the court. And A, you'll be assured health and wellness.
All right. Okay. So, again, I am so honored to have had you on the show.
Thank you so much.
And I just know that people can use the information that they gather from here this evening to really change their lives. So
absolutely.
We still have 6 minutes, and I don't know if there are any latecomers who might want to call in still. If if you want to still hold on, you can do so.
I just wanted to repeat that email again.
Okay, please go ahead.
The Sister Group, T-H-E, no space. CHUCISTAGROUP at AOL.com.
So it's the sister group at AOL.com.
And
so
I just wanted to mention, too, that hopefully we want to make this a commitment to a town, country, and a global to commit to great health and wellness for everybody.
Wonderful. And I want to invite you all to join me on Wednesday at 10 a.m.
I will be broadcasting live out of Massachusetts, but we are going to have a phenomenal team of people on. I'm going to have the founder of the Lemonade Day on. I'm going to have the CEO and president on, and we're also going to have the city manager for New York on. And if you have a child and you are wondering what I'm going to be doing with this child over the summer, you need to be listening to this episode on Wednesday, because you will be amazed to hear the phenomenal things that these young people are doing from their lemonade stand. I was made to understand that last year alone, collaboratively, those young people donated $500,000 to the charities of their choice. So you think that young people are not doing anything? They think again. So join me this Wednesday at 10, when I'll be broadcasting live out of Massachusetts, but I'll have three phenomenal guests on. And remember, as always, I always take this opportunity to remind you that you are created with a destiny. You are supposed to be doing great and marvelous things. Do not allow anyone to derail you or anyone to tell you that you are less than, because you are not. And with that being said, happy Memorial Day to all of you. And I encourage you to follow your destiny.
Thank you so much, Daphne.
You are very welcome, and happy Memorial Day to you.
Thank you so much.
You,
thank you.
Wow.
What's the place that you've called me to? The thing I'm set aside to do. I trust you, Lord, to see me through. Will you let me look in your heart?
Come on, you declare it to the Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
say my name.